Well, thank you all, and I'm Nate Mikish. This is my beautiful wife, Megan. This coming September marks 19 years of marriage for us. This is us 19 years ago. So we have three beautiful daughters, Lou, age 12, Ellie, age 10, and Arlo, age 8. I was born and raised in Lincoln, Nebraska, to two loving parents and an older sister. My parents had just come to Christ within about 5 years of my birth, and I can see in retrospect that they were really doing their best to figure out their faith while also raising my sister and I. Mom and Dad didn't always get along the best, but they made it clear to us that they loved Jesus and that they were doing the best they could to provide for us and point us in the right direction. As a testament to this, I gave my life to Christ at the age of 6, as my dad described my need for a Savior and what it looked like to confess my sin and my need for Jesus's grace and mercy. While my need for Christ was clear to me at a young age, what it meant to accept his love and grace and what it looked like to walk with him would take many, many years to figure out. As I grew into teenhood, confusion around Christianity and my faith in Christ led to many hard years of rebellion against my parents, against God, and basically any authority figure. I was prone to anger, insecurity, bitterness, and depression. I experimented with drugs, hung out with the wrong people, became the wrong people, and was eventually expelled from high school. By God's grace alone, my wildest years coming into adulthood were while I was still in high school, and as a senior, Christ captured my attention anew, which allowed me to restore my broken trust and relationships with my mom and dad. I barely graduated high school academically, but I left with a stronger sense of God's grace and his mercy, and his unending love for me as I moved into adulthood. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." This doesn't mean that I wouldn't make a lot more mistakes going into adulthood, but it does mean that I would continue to be aware of God's pursuit of me. A common theme as I grew up is that even if I tried to stop believing in Christ, I simply couldn't shake it. No matter what I did or said, I knew he loved me.
I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska. My parents were young when they had me. My mom was 18 and my dad 23. They married just before I was born and divorced by the time I was 3. My mom was in and out of relationships, worked swing shift, and spent her free time at the bars. My dad kept me every other weekend, but often canceled. And despite being parents, they both continued to live their lives as if they didn't have a child by keeping up with partying and drug use. My grandma, my mom's mom, whom we lived with, did a lot of the day-to-day task of raising me. When I was 7, my mom gave birth to my brother, and through strategic planning by God, she came to know Jesus. Though she had a new faith in the Lord, it was a long journey getting my family's life out of chaos. My mom continued to spend much of her time at the bars and dating men. She ended up marrying a man within 6 months, and from ages 11 to 14, I lived the worst days of my life as I watched my new stepdad physically and psychologically abuse my mom, then 4-year-old brother, and our dog. Despite life being unpredictable and challenging from a young age, I had a deep love for the Lord. I consistently sought him until my junior and senior years of high school. And during this season, my mom was back to dating men and onto another marriage. The anxiety of having another man in the house drove me to numb myself with boys, alcohol, and drugs. I couldn't see it for myself how much I was hurting. I saw my actions as a rebellion against the Lord, but in reality, I didn't know how to cope with the abuse I'd experienced over the years. I couldn't see it, but God was writing my story. He never left my side, and in fact, the church I was attending regularly in high school is what ultimately connected me with this handsome fellow.
Through common church friends I had grown close to as I graduated high school is how I first met Megan. Admittedly, she wasn't that into me at first, but I eventually won her over through the irresistible combination of shaggy hair and a guitar. So Megan and I were both aspiring hipsters in the early aughts, and as such, I was able to get her attention by playing music in bands that she liked. I fell deeply in love with Megan very early in our relationship, but I could always tell there was a part of her that was holding back. I chalked a lot of this up to the pain she experienced growing up in a broken home. I did not know or fully understand the depth of her pain, and would sometimes be either naive or intimidated by her past. But despite my apprehension, I pursued her fully.
So knowing Nate in high school, but we didn't officially meet until the summer after I graduated. We bumped into one another at a live music show. And it's true, I absolutely love that he played guitar, and I still do. But was more drawn to his genuine personality. And I can't explain it, but when I met Nate, I just felt like I was being drawn in by a safety net. Being with him brought me a level of peace and stability I had not experienced before. As amazing as things were between us, I nearly sabotaged our relationship. Over the course of a year, I developed a flirtatious relationship with a much older coworker, and after a night of heavy drinking, I ended up cheating on Nate. When I confessed this to him, I could see how deeply I hurt him. I was fully prepared for him to break up with me, and that would allow me to retreat back to a life of chaos. To my surprise, he wanted to work things out, and some of our closest friends didn't reject me either. What the enemy intended for evil, God turned about for good. Because at this time in my life, I just severely lacked emotional intelligence or the ability to establish healthy relationships in my life. So I knew that Nate was good for me, but I longed for something more familiar, even if it was unhealthy. And God used the situation to demonstrate unconditional love, mercy, and forgiveness to me. With Nate wanting to work things out, it opened the door for me to walk into his rest, God's grace and his plans for my life. It was the beginning of me learning to be vulnerable and trust in the Lord and establish relationships and establish healthy relationships instead of running from them.
At nearly a year into my relationship with Megan, my father died unexpectedly. And as anyone who has lost a parent would likely tell you, it's incredibly destabilizing. I felt lost and very alone. While I was grieved by my dad's untimely passing, I was also so grateful that our relationship was intact. In the years that led up to his going to the Lord, we would meet for breakfast on a weekly basis, discuss the Bible, what it meant to walk with Jesus, and just life, often as good friends. While I worked through so much grief and change, I can also say this was one of the times in my life where I most tangibly felt God's presence and comfort. Megan and I had many challenges through the years that we dated, but God was always at work. The death of my father and her cheating on me created the opportunity to truly see the best in my friends and family around us. That helped me grieve the loss of my father and also forgive and understand Megan. Not only that, but God was able to restore parts of my relationship with Megan that were damaged by our sexual impurity together. The first 5 years of marriage were really good, but as we both began finishing school and pursuing careers, my love for Megan and Christ began to be secondary to my career ambitions and enjoying other pleasures. A good week for me was long hours of work followed by 2 to 3 happy hours that went late into the night. Like most things, I didn't specifically set out to drift away from Christ, but when good things like meaningful work become ultimate things, trouble is never far behind. I didn't realize the impact that my withdrawal from Christ and from Megan was having on our relationship. When I was stressed or depressed, I found ways to withdraw into work and avoiding dealing with issues at home. Moreover, my ability to talk over and invalidate Megan made it very hard for her to share her concerns about my behavior and the way I was drifting from Christ. Our marriage was never that bad, but nothing in the way that I was leading myself or my family was worth emulating. In short, I was not the man I promised her I would be when we married, and I was only getting worse in isolation.
So our marriage represented a fresh start for me. It was very freeing to move away from the home I grew up in and have a place of our own. In our early days, we attended church regularly, but over time that slowly faded from our lives. And within a couple of years, we were just going through the motions of life and not really connecting. I found myself growing frustrated with some biblical truths and distancing myself from God. At home, Nate was drinking more and becoming angry with work. And at this time in our marriage, I avoided confrontation like the plague. So I never said anything. It really wouldn't be until the birth of our first daughter, over 6 years of marriage later, that I felt a renewed connection with him.
We moved to Texas with our first child, Lou, and nearly immediately had a second, Eleanor. For Megan and I, Texas represented a fresh start in many ways. But without a community of believers to be connected to, old patterns are easy to fall back into. And as I aged, questions about God's goodness became harder for me to shake, leading me to some pretty dark places spiritually. In 2014, in search of community, Megan and I decided to go to Reengage. Laughably, we both rated our marriage at a 9. I'm sure many of you done that too. So it turns out I had no idea the kinds of issues we were having with communication, among many other things. But starting Reengage took Megan and I down the path of community in general. We eventually landed in a group of loving people that we did not always appreciate. Community is really hard, especially if you're trying to do it the right way. I struggled with the group mightily as being known didn't always feel very good. Proverbs 18:1 says, "He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom." And as Proverbs 18:1 warns against, I decided it would be better for me to go my own way. In 2017, we unilaterally decided to leave our group. We didn't discuss it with them. We didn't work through past conflicts. We just sent them a text and essentially got them out of our lives. At the time, we didn't realize just how hurtful this was to the people who were really trying to love us. They weren't perfect, but they were put into our life by God to help us. So we spent 6 months in the wilderness before realizing that what a huge mistake we had made. And one of the couples in our group helping as ambassadors, we were accepted back into the fold. It was clear to both Megan and I that our marriage, our family, and our personal lives were not the same without community. While Megan is a huge help to me, sometimes my issues need a second hand, and the same for her. Our community celebrates with us, suffers with us, processes with us, cuffs us into shape, and points us to truth. Our marriage and our family are better with them in our lives. I still wrestle with many questions about why God does the things he does. But as Megan reminded me a few years back, Christ did not exclude himself from the suffering we all experience. 1 Peter 2, 21-23 says, "For you were called to this because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He did not commit sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he did not insult in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but entrusted himself to the one who judges justly." While it is hard to understand or explain many of the terrible things that happen in this life, it's comforting and helpful to know that Jesus, having come here himself in the flesh, understands suffering in a way we will never fully understand.
So in 2013, I found myself at a crossroads with God. I was either going to walk away or make peace with my faith. It was ultimately the historical evidence of the resurrection of Christ that caused me to come back to the Lord. I surrendered my frustrations with the Bible. After all, I will never know the mysteries of God on this side of heaven. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." When I surrendered these frustrations, I found myself filled with the Lord's peace. Plugging into church here, being in a community group, has just truly been one of the greatest gifts to our family. I truly believe marriage is one of God's greatest gifts to us. I have witnessed the destruction that takes place when God is not at the center of marriage, and God put it in our hearts to serve here and reengage, as we have a desire to see God transform individuals, marriages, our community, and ultimately generations to come. We just really enjoy watching the ripple effect of God's hand.
And so there's another photo here. This is us today with our three beautiful children. And many may wonder what happens, you know, once reengage is over. I know some of you are different stages of the process. And how can you continue to grow in your in Christ and in oneness? And it really comes down to his word, his spirit, and his people. So thank you for letting us share. Mm-hmm.